Hi, everyone. Thank you for coming to this workshop. My name is Simon Rua. That's my wife there, Virginia. Yeah, so thank you for coming. It's good to have you here. We'll start off with a prayer, and then I'll mostly just be sharing the story of how God helped us, you know, start this discipleship ministry through social media. And then at the end, we'll give room for questions and just interaction. So in the middle of the presentation, if you feel like there's something that was not clear, you could just raise your hand and ask a question, and that's okay. Amen. Yeah, so let's pray. Father, just want to thank you for bringing us here together. Thank you for the opportunity to share what you're doing in our lives and for your kingdom. And I just pray that this session, this workshop, will just stir up faith for growth, for what you're already doing in our lives through social media and the internet. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yeah, so I would like to start by reading a verse, which is Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16. It says, You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, so that it may give light to all that are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So this is a scripture that is, you know, the Lord used to inspire what we are doing. I saw in the scripture that it says, you know, we are a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. And when we light a lamp, we should not put it under a basket, but we should put it on a hill or on a mountain so that it may provide light to many. Now, you're welcome. So, and then there's another scripture that talks about, Jesus said, whatever I tell you in the darkness, that speak on the rooftops. You know, so I don't want to bore you with statistics, but for me, and when you do statistics, you find out that social media is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, rooftop we have today. You know, there are just so many people on social media. So if I could think about the tallest building to stand on, where the most people would hear my voice, or the most people would see light, like if I had a candle and there was a highest point to put it up, it would probably be social media, because there are billions of people that use it every single day. So if you take these two scriptures and you put them together, whatever I tell you in darkness, speak on the rooftop, and then we are a city on a hill and we should not be hidden. And if you take those two, then you see that social media then is a very key, very focal point. You know, it's literally the highest mountain today that you could think of that would provide a platform for shining light and for the voices to go as far as possible. So these two scriptures, God used these two scriptures to begin a thought process in my mind. And then that's when, you know, so the Lord had spoken to me personally about being in ministry when I was young, like 12 years old. But I was waiting. The kind of ministry that I was looking forward to is, you know, like being in a church setting like this, a building, and standing like this and preaching, which I've had those opportunities as well. But so the Lord told me that as you're waiting for that, I would like you to use the internet as your building for now. And that was around 2020, just before COVID hit. So I had been pastoring a church in India, and then I left and went back to Kenya. And I left, so because of that, there was a disconnection physically of some of the people I was pastoring in India, the connections. So I was in Kenya, and then the Lord told me to use the internet as a building. And so I began to, I just simply started saying, I can be teaching and sharing online, and you guys can join and listen to what I have to share, and we'll also have time to pray for each other and all that. I didn't think much of it then. And what happened is people, because it was COVID, so people were at home, you know, there was a lot of time. So a lot of people started joining and telling each other, and then we would pray, and something would happen, like a miracle would happen, we would pray for healing, something would happen. And so word was spreading so fast, and many people were joining. But then COVID, you know, vaccines came and all that, so people now started going back to work, and so there were lesser and lesser people who are available for our meetings because the timings were designed for COVID time because people were free. So after that, we had to take a two years break just to figure out how to do this again. And then after 2 years, the Lord said, you know, we were praying with some of the friends that I have. The Lord said, you do it again, but this time. So in many places in Africa, I know there's traffic jam here too, but if you've been to Kenya, it's nothing compared to what you have here. So sometimes people get stuck on the traffic for like 2 hours just going to work. And so we in prayer, we decided to come up with times of teaching and prayer during that time of potentially, because there's a time where we know somebody, if somebody is working in town, they're probably stuck in traffic around this time. So we started having the classes and the services during the time that people would potentially be stuck in traffic. And so you're stuck in traffic anyway, so you could either sleep in the bus or join a teaching and, you know, make use of the time. So many people started rejoining again. And so we have a morning session where people are going to work and they could be stuck in traffic, they join. Or back in the evening, they're going back to their homes and they could be stuck in traffic and they join. And so we have prayers in the mornings, and in the evenings we have teachings. And so it started growing again, and I'll be sharing now the testimony of some of the things we have seen happen. And then I'll share a little bit of some tips on things that have worked for us. But before that, I just want to first say that there are some myths about social media ministry. And I know that that's probably not your case, because you at least came for this workshop, so you at least believe that there's something about social media that could be used well. But one of the things I've heard is that, you know, social media ministry is for lazy people, and it's just like an escape way of real ministry. And that was actually something that I had to deal with when I first felt called into this, because there's stigma out there. I don't know about here, but there's stigma that in fact, sometimes people would make fun of me and say, oh, Facebook pastor, ha ha ha, or Instagram pastor, ha ha ha. You know, so there's stigma out there that this is not real ministry. This is just something that maybe scammers do, or something that people that are lazy, don't want to do real ministry, they can just go on Facebook and have a live and say, blah, blah, you know, but that's not the truth. In fact, I would say online ministry is probably requires more diligence. That is, if we are to see real fruits, probably requires more diligence than even physical ministry. Because physically, you can see my facial expression, you can see my body language, online, you have to build that trust, you know, with someone who is in another place, you know, just behind a screen. So it's not an escape from real ministry. Online ministry is actually a ministry that God can use to grow his kingdom. So that's number one. Number two is, I've had people say that online relationships are all fake relationships. You know, it's just fake. Everything online is fake. But that's not the truth. I'm sure even for this conference, for this workshop, I did not have a single conversation with Mal physically. He sent me an email, sent me a WhatsApp message, and all that was relationship being built, right? You know, I literally prepared for a whole workshop to be here, to come here, travel all the way, just because of online communication. So online communication is not fake or does not have to be fake. It can be fake, but it can also be very sincere, and a lot of good things can be birthed from that. Amen. So that's one myth I also wanted to talk about. And the last one is, you cannot experience God's presence through media platforms. You cannot experience God's presence through media platforms. So sometimes, you know, there's an assumption that, oh, this is just online, so, you know. But God's presence is not limited. And I know as Christians we say that, you know, God's presence is not limited, but in reality, many times people may not truly believe that God's presence is not limited. But the truth is, God's presence is not limited. And I'll be sharing you a testimony of, this is one of my favorite ones. So we have a program we call, it's a prophetic program every Saturday in the evening. And one time the Lord told me to teach on baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I was like, okay, I don't mind teaching that. But then at the end, God said, now I want you to pray for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit, evidence with speaking with tongues. I said, Lord, I don't think you understand. This is an online ministry. And the Lord said, do it. So I said, anyway, let's do it. And after some time, a lady starts shouting. This lady, at that time I was teaching and having this program, I was in Zambia. This lady was joining from India, and we just see texts coming in. I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. I can speak with tongues. I can speak with tongues. I can speak with tongues. And the lady was filled with the Holy Spirit all the way in India, evidence with speaking with tongues online. Praise the name of the Lord. And that's just one story of the many stories that we've seen. People, one time we were also praying. Same time we had a series on baptism of the Holy Spirit for like 3 weeks. Another one said the room was filled with the tangible glory of God. Literally, she felt like something had entered her room and there was a tangible presence of God online. Glory to God. So these are just myths that people assume, that online ministry is for lazy people. Online ministry, you can't build real relationships. Online ministry, you can't experience the true presence of God. But all those are simply myths. You can have tangible, powerful manifestations of the Holy Spirit online. And you can build very authentic relationships online. Praise the Lord. I'll also like to talk about the difference between online ministry and online presence. Now, many times what people call online ministry is simply online presence. And that's where the difference is. Because many churches or many ministries today have an online presence. What's an online presence? We have a church here, you know, but we also record our services and people can see what we're doing, jump in and out. If you've ever been on a live meeting, you see sometimes it's 25 people, 2 minutes later, it's 7 people. Then 3 minutes later, it's 50 people. You know, that's what I call an online presence. It's just like a signboard. We are here, we exist. And if you're looking for a good church, you know, now you know we exist. That's online presence. But online ministry is different. And that's what we do. Online ministry is just, you do everything you would do and maybe more in a physical ministry. So there's intentionality in online ministry. In online presence, it's just a signboard. But online ministry, the same way in a physical ministry, you see, like right now, my brother Josiah just came in. I saw him. I acknowledge him. Thank you for coming. So online ministry, if I'm having a meeting, let's say I'm preaching and somebody joins online, it's not just another number. Oh, we have 57 people now. The 57th has joined. No, how hi, I see you, Elizabeth. You've just joined us. Well, welcome. You know, it's just that we are now doing it online, but it's the same concept of building real relationships. And I just want to explain a few things that we do that are different from online presence to online ministry. So online ministry is characterized by personalized care, number one. Personalized care. It's not just names. Oh, this person, this number. It's personalized care. We know, like right now, if you ask me, we have about 500 people on our WhatsApp, on our group. I know I can tell you maybe about 350 of those. I can tell you where they are, what they are doing, who they are, maybe a bit of some prayer needs that they may have right now. And that's just me. We have leaders who are reaching out to these people. So there is personalized care. It's just that we are not meeting physically, but we know them. Number two, there is intentionality. You know, there's intentionality, there's follow-up, there's reaching out, and I'll be sharing with you some of the programs we have to help accomplish these things. And then there's building genuine relationships with these people. Building genuine relationships with these people. So, like, one example that's coming to mind right now is one of the people in our network is Zambian. His wife lost her brother 1 or 2 weeks ago, and we, as a family, you know, prayed for her, prayed with her, and we actually collected some funds and sent, you know, to help with the burial, things like that. So there's true building of relationships. You know, it's not just they join the meeting and then nobody knows who they are. So, and then there's genuineness. So I like to say that online ministry is just similar to physical ministry. It's just that we are doing it online. And that makes it a little bit harder, because now you have to do double the work to build trust and to build genuineness, you know, for people to trust, you know, who you are and what you're saying you have. So some of the programs we have is we have prayers Monday to Friday. Every morning we have prayers for an hour together. So you can imagine, currently we have about people from maybe 20 different nations. Every morning, all of them come together to pray online, you know, for about an hour. And people send prayer requests and, how are you doing? How can we pray with you? How, you know, so that prayer, if you're praying, you know, it doesn't have to be every day like us, because it's a lot of young people. But if you're praying consistently, that bond, even if, you know, unintentionally, if you're praying together for that many times, it will just bind you together. And then we have teachings, Monday to Friday again. So after the prayer, and we pause for like an hour and a half, and then there's a teaching. And that teaching, those teachings, you know, like people are joining, and we talk about things like love, things like faith in God, things like hope. And again, if you're having teachings, you're learning together almost every day, it builds relationship, it builds roots. And then we have counseling sessions. So some people, after the meetings, maybe they have like an issue in their relationships, an issue in their marriage, an issue in their work. We have a department of counselors that people can call a number and they can talk to a person on a specific personalized level. And then we have some structured courses and you know, many other different things that we do. But I'm just sharing that to show that it's not an escape from doing real ministry. It's just a different platform. But many of the things we do, you'd find in a typical church. So I want to finish by just sharing some stories that we have seen, some testimonies that we have seen that have really encouraged me. Because like I said when I began, that for me it was hard to get into this type of ministry because of the stigma around it. But some of these things are the things that God has used to just help me stay put. So number one, there's a lady who, after delivering her baby, she's Rwandese, after delivering her baby, the baby had heart complications, so they had to move to Israel. She moved to Israel with the baby just for treatment of the baby, and the husband had to stay in Rwanda to work because they need to take care of the bills and all that. So when she was leaving, she thought, oh, maybe this will be like 2 months, 3 months at the max. She got to Israel, and they said, we've never seen this kind of case before. This is, you know, in fact, the survival chances of your baby are very, very minimal, but we'll try what we can do. I'm just summarizing the story. The lady has been there now for almost 2 years. And for that time, 1 year and about 3 months, the baby was on life support. Is it? No, not life support. What do you say when they are breathing through oxygen and... Yeah, something like that. But like with all these aids, he could not breathe by himself. He had to have all these aids. And because this mother is a primary caregiver of this boy, she can't leave the ICU. So she only has 1 hour a day to leave the ICU. So imagine for 23 hours, welcome. So imagine for 23 hours a day for 1 year, 3 months, 23 hours a day, 1 year, 3 months, the lady is always in a room with her boy who has all these machines. Imagine what is going on in her heart and in her soul. So in that moment, this lady knew me from India. She was not coming to the church that I was pastoring, but she saw one of our, you know, we post a lot on Facebook, you can join. So she saw that and she said, oh, let me join this. Now, this is where I say there's a difference between online ministry and online presence. There's a lot of teachings out there on YouTube, a lot of teachings on Facebook, but they don't know who you are. They don't know your name. You can listen and that's it. But she joined ours, and when she joined one of the meetings, I said, oh, I see Sarah, you're here. Welcome. It's so good to have you. They actually make fun of me sometimes. They say, oh, Pastor Simon says, welcome. And anyway, so I said, welcome. I haven't seen you in a long time. How are you? After that, I went into our inbox. I said, hi, where are you nowadays? She said, oh, I'm in Israel. My boy has been sick and I'm here and I can't leave the room. I have to stay in the room for 23 hours a day. So she can't go to a physical church because she has to be in that room 23 hours a day. And she's in that condition. She's saying, I am feeling suicidal. I'm depressed. I haven't seen my husband at that time. She hadn't seen her husband for 6 months. Now just imagine. So we start now. Just talking to her, inviting her. We have all these programs, the teaching programs. We have counseling programs. We have prayer programs. And the lady said, I was just giving up. In fact, the doctors are there telling her there's very little chance of your boy making it. Now she's joined to us and we are preaching faith. You are going to come out of this in Jesus' name. You know, your boy is coming out. I just got an audio 2 days before coming to this conference that they are now out of the ICU. It's taken longer than we wanted it to, but they are now out of the ICU. She was just crying, says, I don't know how I would have made this without the community that you guys have provided, without the community at DBCI. So, because it was not just me. Many people now know her situation, so she's getting calls. Sarah, how are you? How can we be praying with you? How is your boy today? You know, this and that. And so now, even though we are far away, there's this community, there's this connection, and we are praying. And the boy, the doctor say, we don't know what happened, but the boy is now out of the ICU. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Wow. So such things, I just feel like when I have a low moment and feel like, oh, this is not real ministry, I remember such stories. You know. What was the other story I wanted to share? Yeah, I already told you about the lady that was filled with the Holy Spirit online and spoke with tongues. And it's not just one. We've seen that many, many, many times. Another one I just remembered, which was not in my notes, is one time we are teaching about healing. And the Lord says, okay, now pray for people that need healing. So there was a lady, and the Lord put this in my heart. I made a very bold statement. I said, now, apart from those that are here online following, if you know someone that's not online following, but they are sick, I want you right now to believe that God is touching them wherever they are. So there was this lady who knew a friend who had a problem with her leg. I think something, I don't remember exactly, but there was a critical condition with the leg of the friend. So she, by faith, I didn't even say this, but by faith, she called. Apparently, the friend could not join because she had to have data to join the online one. So she called the lady on a normal call and said, we are praying now for sick people, and I believe you'll be healed wherever you are. And we are praying on this side. So this is double online, you know, online and then another online. And in the middle of the prayer, the lady starts shouting again, my friend has been healed. My friend has been healed. Wow. Praise the name of the Lord. Yeah. So there are just many, 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 many stories that I could share of healings, of, you know, people have found husbands, you know. That, no. We make sure if it's a husband, you have to meet them. But people have met, you know, we had our first annual conference last year, and we had six nations represented in that conference. The conference was in Kenya, and we had people from Nigeria, a person from Nigeria. We had Mozambique, we had Kenya itself, we had Uganda, we had Zambia, and I forget what other nation, but we had six nations, people from six nations coming. And this was the testimony. When we were meeting these people, many of us were meeting for the first time, and it was just like, oh, I feel like I've known you all my life. You know, people were just meeting me. Oh, Pastor Simon, you know, wow, thank you for praying with me. We are meeting each other. And that's why I'm saying there's a myth that online relationships are not real or genuine, but that's just a story. You can build something genuine online. You can be, it's the heart behind the connection, really. You know, so we were meeting. I wish I had a video to show you that just the way we were playing games. We had our conference, we had a time for games. So we were playing games together, and you could think we have known each other for the last 10 years because relationships were built online. And of course, we've seen a lot of people give their lives to Christ also, many times after the prophetic. So initially, it was just me and my connections from India and my wife, our connections from India. And then now people are starting to invite each other. And so in a typical meeting, the prophetic meeting that we have on Saturdays, we have about 5 to 6 people that give their life to Christ because people are just inviting each other. Come, join this thing. Come, join this thing. Come, join this thing. And it's just a blessing to see what God is doing. So I have many more stories, but I'd like to give an opportunity for just questions, comments, and then maybe at the end I'll share a bit more. Yes?
How did you get started in the beginning?
Oh, sorry. Sorry. The recording, so the question need to be... Thank you.
How did you get started in the beginning? Was it with just people that you knew, or did you say start with just some type of a topic and then people came across it and discovered you in the process?
Yeah, so in the beginning, it was just me trying to, because I was pastoring a church in India and I was leading a ministry in India, but I was not physically now connected to them. So just trying to keep up with them. So I would just do a teaching, and then sometimes would study the Bible, like the book of John, and then people would ask questions. But it was mainly teaching. I would do a teaching, and then people would join to listen. And because people already knew, a few people already knew me from India, then they would join. And then that's how they started inviting other people as well. Yeah. So it was through non-connections in the beginning, and then it started growing. Yeah. Yes.
Sorry. Thank you. Excuse me. Can you tell us a little bit of the logistics of, like, do you do Facebook Live? Is that, or like, what platform do you use?
Thank you. So we use different platforms for different types of meetings. So we have teaching meetings. We use a platform called Telegram. The reason is Telegram has a feature where you can store the recordings. You know, so anybody can go back and listen to it again. And then for evangelistic meetings, because we also have evangelistic meetings, we use Facebook Live and Instagram sometimes, but mainly Facebook Live if we are targeting new people. And then we have a Sunday celebration. So it's not a disciple, it's more of just a celebration, having fun, sharing testimonies. For that, we use Google Meet, because Google Meet has a lot of emojis. There's a features, yeah. It's very interactive. The user interface is very interactive. So. And then we have now WhatsApp for our community. So WhatsApp is where now it's not that we don't have teachings or anything, just people interacting. Oh, this person is having a wedding, or this person has a birthday. We post a picture there, we celebrate them, and things like that. So it's a mix. Yeah. Thank you. Any other? Yes.
So, like, do you advertise at all, or is it all just word of mouth for the most part, for getting the word out about?
Yeah, we advertise a lot. We advertise a lot. So we encourage people to like share on their WhatsApp. In the beginning, we were not advertising, because in the beginning it was just like, oh, this is just something. But now we're actually advertising. So people would post on their WhatsApp status. We encourage all our members, post on your WhatsApp status, you know, about our programs. And then Facebook, we are now also building videos. So we post the videos on Facebook, post the videos on Telegram. On Instagram. Like right now we have and it's interesting, this has shocked me. I don't know if it will shock you. But many people have joined us through fasting programs. So we have corporate fasts. God gave us a strategy like this year, the beginning of the month. So this is April, we start the month with 4 days of fasting. May, we'll start the month with 5 days of fasting. June, 6 days of fasting. And then we just advertise and say, we're having a corporate fast. If you'd like to fast with us, sign up, you know, join this group, and we'll fast together. And in the evenings, we'll be praying together. And we've seen a lot of people joining during those fasts. And so we'd have many, many people that are joining us are people that know Jesus, but I have not been walking with Jesus. So maybe they've just been lukewarm Christians. And then they join. They see, oh, there's a fast. I don't know why that's appealing to them, but they join, and then they become practicing believers. And then through them, maybe now a sister who was not a believer now hears about Jesus Christ, or a neighbor. And then we have now, by extension, non-believers coming to Christ.
We also have plenty of volunteers who are really good with graphics and design. And, I mean, they're more techie than we are. And they have different ways, like, you know, YouTube shorts, this very attractive music and pop. Okay, not pop, godly pop, that is very catchy and ministers to the younger generations that often join.
I was just curious how many people are in your ministry. I mean, yourself and your wife and...
So, all right. So we have all the people that are registered will be about 1,000. Yeah. But those that are active is different. But again, it's hard to tell who is active, because there's some people who would miss like a live session, but they go back and listen to the recording. But we have about 1,000 people.
I have great interest in this topic because I do some social media things. And another question that I would have for you is, do you ever have issues with like algorithms and Facebook blocking you? Like I have a ministry page on Facebook, and they won't, like, I'll post it, but like nobody sees it because of the algorithms. So do you ever have issues with that?
So we haven't maybe been very keen on that, like to notice. It's possible that we have problems, but we haven't. I wouldn't say we are aware yet. So, because what we've been doing so far is very targeted, you know. Like so, we have people in our WhatsApp group and our Telegram group. So we're really, from my standpoint, I'm just reaching these people in our group, and then they advertise to other people. So maybe they have experienced that, but not me. Yeah.
If you're doing advertising, can you give some examples of some of the type of ads you would typically do, and how do you do them, say on Facebook or whatever social media you're using?
Yeah. So for what I've noticed is there's a lot of suspicion about online ministry. So genuineness is very, very key. So if the person who got healed, for example, is sharing her own testimony, I've seen that generates more interest or response. So we try not to like advertise a lot, but we encourage the people to share their story. So if something happens to somebody, we encourage post it, you know, share your story online, share your story, and we see a lot of people coming in. But other than that, we do posters just to advertise, like, let's say we are teaching on faith next week, so we just come up with a poster and post it on Facebook, or a video, something like that, yeah. But I've seen that generates very little interest. But when it's a personal testimony, somebody sharing, it's big. So we have structured courses, which we've borrowed a lot from the Dove Global Access program. And those structured courses, so I notice, for example, when somebody graduates from that and they post a picture of themselves and say, oh, I just graduated from this, this is what I learned, you know, this and that, then a lot of people, you know, join because of her personal testimony. Yeah. So we encourage a lot of personal testimonies. What has God done for you, and can you go and share that? Yeah.
Sam, I feel like here in the U.S., a lot of, like, online presence or ministries revolve, actually. I think we use Facebook as our main platform for a lot of those things. So do you have like a landing site that you use that's like people can go and view, and is that Facebook? Or then it also sounds like are you sending out a lot of links? Like when you do Google Meets, like are you sending out links to the people in your community group, like WhatsApp? Like if you're doing a teaching, are you sending out links to like the whole groups? Or like how are you doing that? Because I feel like in the U.S., we don't utilize WhatsApp as much, and we don't utilize those things. So we utilize Facebook primarily, but then we run into things like you would say, like blocking. But I feel like you utilize things a little differently and things. So I'm wondering then, like, do you have, like, a landing page that is, like, a face for your ministry that's an online presence? And then, like, because I'm hearing then that you're sending out links a lot of times for people to join meetings. Is that accurate on how you're doing that?
So, yes, we're sending a lot of links, but we also have a landing page on Facebook. We have a landing page on Instagram, on Telegram. We have different landing pages. But my advice would be, I don't know if in the U.S. you have your own, so I don't know, but I think there's something like iMessage here, or can you form groups in iMessage? Yeah.
It's not popular.
Yeah. So you could find something that's popular. For example, like Facebook, you could make a group on Facebook. You could have a Facebook group. A page is more for advertising, but then a group is more for interaction. So whatever platform people have bought into, you could use that. You know, like in China, I think they use WeChat. So it's just finding which platform already has people and then what feature they have and then utilizing that. Yeah.
So how do you deal with the inconsistencies of, you know, today it's 100 people, tomorrow is 50 people, or how do you sieve out who's really after the, you know, growing in Christ and who are the not so serious people? Yeah.
I'd say consistency. Like, so for us, we don't have we have different types of meetings. So like the evangelistic meetings, we would have that situation where you have a Facebook Live and you have 50 people, then you have 30 people. Somebody was just passing by. But for our discipleship meetings, there's a very consistent number, because these are people who are, you know, they believe in the vision and they're actually seeing it impact their lives. But then just like in a church, physical church, you have a first timer come in, you know, they may not come back tomorrow or they may come back. So what we do is if in a meeting, for example, the prophetic meeting we have on Saturday is a best attended meeting, we would actually acknowledge first timers. If this is your first time, raise your hand, you know, put an emoji for raising hand, and then say, oh, okay, I see. For example, I see you, Lucy. How are you? Please tell us where you're from. And then there are people, we have a team, the communications team, who then text them and say, I noticed you joined us for the first time. You know, would you like to be added to our community group? And then the following time, if we don't see them, hi, we didn't see you today. How are you? How can we be praying with you? So it's a lot of follow-up and a lot of prayer. And some people just come once and they never come back. But many times when we follow up, they come back. And then they become part of the community. Yeah. Yes.
How many hours a week do you spend at this?
Wow. It's a lot of hours. So I'd say about 14 to 15 hours, maybe 15 hours a week that we spend on this. And it could be more, but we have different teams. So we have a team for communication, we have a team for media, we have a team for counselors and prayer. So it doesn't feel as much for per individual because it's spread out, but in a week we have a lot of things going around. I'd say 15, maybe 15 hours a week.
Maybe to help a bit on Lisa and Mim, At first, we tried using Zoom because Zoom had just come in. It was the in thing, but it was not very user-friendly for us. And some parts in Africa, data is a big issue. So over the years, we've been adjusting from one interface to the other because not all our material is solely on Facebook. You know, Facebook would advertise, but we wouldn't do everything on Facebook Live. And, you know, as people grew more consistent, then they would give us their numbers, would inbox them personally, then send the specific links that is not 1,000 people attending that would flag us. So I think that consistent adjusting to the, not popular trends, but to the user-friendly interfaces has come a long way, even as we learn how to adjust with the new trends coming.
Yeah, and we have also gotten to a place where we now have licensed, like, for example, we use now licensed Zoom, like we've paid for it. So once you pay for it, then the dynamics are different from the free one. Yeah, so we have an upcoming conference this August. And the first conference was in Kenya. The second one will be in Mozambique, Maputo. And already we have people from seven nations that have registered. And we are so excited about that. You know, so I'm sharing this as a prayer. These are prayer points now, things you could be praying with us over. And then we have locations, physical locations, one in DBCA Lusaka, which is the capital for Zambia. We have DBCA Maputo, capital for Mozambique, DBCA Kilifi, which is a town in Kenya, DBCA Nairobi, the capital of Kenya, DBCA Agra in India. So these are the ones that are already there, and there are people who are just waiting for us to go back to Africa. We'll be in the US for some time till May 20th. When we go back, there are people who are just waiting to be launched to start other physical centers. So God is just doing amazing, amazing, amazing things. And I just like to encourage you that online ministry is not a scam. It's not a scam. It's not a second class ministry, you know, as it may come out. It's a real ministry, and it can be a powerful amplifier of the kingdom of God. It can be a very powerful amplifier. And if you do it well, you know, and put in, the Bible says that a diligent hand shall be made rich. So if we are diligent in this, we can see results just as any other thing. And we have seen that, and we are continuing to see more. And we need prayers, we need support. And thank you for coming here, because this is very encouraging to have you come and listen and contribute. Yeah. So I don't know if anybody else has something to add or ask.
I just had another question. Typically, what does it cost in terms of, say, advertising or other expenses that you might have, maybe like on a monthly basis?
So we are using many free things. So Facebook is free, Telegram, we're using the free version, so it's very subsidized. But what we try to do is the leaders, the people that are doing things like maybe leading prayer or counseling, we try to buy them data to help them do these things. So for us, you know, $100 a month, yeah, let's say $100 a month just helps, because it's just a just give somebody like $10 to buy data, just help them. And then, of course, now for us, now we do other things like maybe the person I said who had a funeral, you know, we contribute and help them. But these are just not running costs, it's just different things to build fellowship. Yeah, so I think that's it. Thank you so much again for joining. I really appreciate, and yeah, this is the end of our workshop for discipleship at A Click 2025.